Unintended consequences or even hubris are themes often explored in science fiction. NSTA reviewer Jacob Blickenstaff looks for lessons that can be learned in the latest Hollywood adaptation of an old science fiction favorite, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is the second film in the latest reinterpretation of a story based on a 1963 French science fiction novel, which has now included 8 movies so far. Graphic novels, television series, and merchandising tie-ins prove the concept has endured for many decades. I'm not a particular Planet of the Apes expert. I've not seen the 1968 film with Charlton Heston in many years, though I did see Tim Burton's 2001 version, and I've watched both films in the latest reboot. The common thread across the variations is a population of intelligent apes having domination over humans, though the degree to which the humans are slaves to the apes varies widely. Each storyline was adapted to explore the prevailing social concerns at the time of production. In the 1960s, that was the Cold War and possible nuclear annihilation. In the 21st century, it's human-caused pandemic viral disease. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which came out in 2011, kicked off the latest storyline when human scientists who are in search of a cure for Alzheimer's disease unleash a virus that does 2 things. It simultaneously stimulates ape brain chemistry, making them as intelligent as humans, and causes a deadly disease in people. James Franco starred in Rise as the lead Alzheimer's scientist who raised an infant chimpanzee at home after the chimp's mother was killed. The baby chimp, later named Caesar, inherited amazing intelligence from his mother. He develops similar to a human child. Near the end of Rise, Caesar deliberately releases the smart ape virus in a captive population of chimps, gorillas, and an orangutan. You can check out the Rise trailer online. Now, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes kicks off 10 years later, when Caesar and his community have grown larger and built a wooden stockade-like compound in Muir Woods north of San Francisco. The group developed a social structure with Caesar as the leader, the orangutan as the teacher, and they communicate through sign language. Apes have not seen any evidence of humans since the simian flu virus killed off virtually the entire human population. That ends when a small group of people crosses the Golden Gate Bridge in search of a hydroelectric dam to power a small colony which is just scraping by in San Francisco.
You know the scary thing about them? They don't need power. Lights, heat, nothing. That's the advantage. That's what makes them stronger.
Caesar tries to prevent conflict between the humans and apes, but is in the end unable to prevent a war. The remainder of Dawn details the first stages of the human-ape war and sets the stage for the story to continue in another Planet of the Apes film, scheduled for 2016. In Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, my attention was drawn to the power generation problem that brings humans into contact with Caesar's community. The San Francisco colony is about to run out of fuel for their generators, and Dreyfus, their leader, is looking for another source of electricity. He claims the area used to get most of its power from nuclear power plants, but this is not true in California, at least in our universe. Less than 10% of California's electricity comes from nuclear power, and the state's largest source of electricity is actually natural gas. California does get a significant portion of its electricity from hydroelectric power, generated by dams on rivers in the Sierra Nevada mountains, about 3 or 4 hour drive from San Francisco. Hydroelectric power uses the gravitational potential energy of a large body of water to turn turbines, which then generate electricity. To be practical, you need a reliable supply of water and a rapid change in elevation so that a large change in potential energy happens over a relatively short distance. There are no hydroelectric facilities near San Francisco because the only large rivers nearby are quite flat, and the steep mountain streams don't carry enough water to be useful. In fact, the area of Marin County where Caesar's community lives is much drier than depicted in the film. The reason Dawn looks so wet is that most of it was filmed in British Columbia, a region that exports electricity generated by hydroelectric power to the rest of North America. Now, in thinking about implementing the next generation science standards in the classroom, teachers will need to incorporate more engineering tasks, and I see ways that Dawn could be used to inspire a design challenge around power generation. Given a map of the San Francisco Bay Area and information about the weather, how would you generate electricity for a colony of, say, 1,000 people if the gasoline and diesel fuel ran out? Since you have the generators already, you need to change what turns the generator's crankshaft. Is there a way to replace the gasoline engine with another energy source? Would hydropower be practical? How about wind or solar energy? It would also be worth noting that California is currently experiencing a historic drought, and a lack of rainfall limits the availability of hydroelectric power. The two films in the most recent reboot of Planet of the Apes could be used by science teachers to discuss brain science, research ethics, electrical power generation, or even to inspire an engineering design task.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
Apes do not want war!